Pfizer and BioNTech are seeking FDA approval of their COVID-19 vaccine. So how long will it take to vet it?
These are doctors and scientists who are looking at the data, and their objective is not to slow things down. And in fact, in this case, it's to try to speed them up, but they're being really careful about it.
We'll talk more about the process and the rollout. And U.S. stocks end the day down after a choppy week. We'll explain why. Plus, you've heard of Kennebunkport and Hyannisport. We'll go to the next presidential retreat. It's Friday, November 20th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The demand for COVID-19 testing is rising ahead of Thanksgiving. Some people are finding it more difficult to find available test appointments, and others are waiting in line for hours to get tested. Urgent and primary care facilities say they're redirecting staff and expanding capacity to help meet demand. The turnaround to receive results is also getting longer in some cases, though wait times are still far shorter than over the summer. Meanwhile, COVID-19 cases continue to climb in the U.S. More than 187,800 new infections were reported on Thursday, according to Johns Hopkins University. The U.S. also hit another record number of hospitalizations, more than 80,000, according to the COVID Tracking Project. Enthusiasm over a potential coronavirus vaccine propelled markets to new records at the beginning of the week. U.S. stocks ended the day down after a bumpy week. The Dow and the S&P notched losses of less than 1% for the week. The Nasdaq added 0.2%. Our markets reporter, Akani Otani, explains what's behind the short-term volatility.
First of all, we saw Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin decline to extend an emergency lending program put in place by the Fed. And of course, that's raising a few concerns about what might happen to small and mid-sized businesses that had been tapping those programs for aid in the last couple of months. And then more broadly, the fact that the coronavirus is really continuing to spread throughout the country. I mean, heading into the holiday season, a lot of experts are predicting that we're going to see even greater spread. And so, of course, we're already seeing broad parts of the country put into place lockdown measures that are probably going to hurt business activity. And that's one thing that investors have been concerned about throughout the year. That being said, it's worth noting that stocks have had a really good run in November. And so even with the last couple of days, I think there's a lot of folks who believe that people are just wanting to take a little bit of a pause and take a bit of a breather before sort of reassessing their position. So all in all, I think the last couple of days aren't necessarily something that investors are too concerned about when it comes to their market outlooks.
Mark Calabria, the federal regulator who oversees Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, is pushing to speed up the end of government control of the mortgage giants before President Trump leaves office. That's according to people familiar with the matter. The effort, while still considered a long shot, could affect the cost and availability of mortgages for millions of Americans. Together, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guarantee roughly half of the $11 trillion in existing home loans. The officials could still take other steps that would restructure the government's stakes in the firms, which it seized control of to prevent their collapse during the 2008 financial crisis. And we report exclusively that President-elect Joe Biden's team is only receiving limited cybersecurity support to protect the team's emails and other sensitive communication from foreign hackers. This is according to people familiar with the transition. There are concerns that those could be likely espionage targets for Russia, China, and other adversaries. The Biden team's access to transition resources has been limited as the Trump team continues to fight the election results in court. Coming up after the break, everything you need to know about the FDA's review of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. Pfizer and its partner BioNTech have become the first drug makers to request federal approval of their COVID-19 vaccine. It's a huge development in the race to create and distribute an inoculation that will hopefully help bring the pandemic under control. The Food and Drug Administration will decide whether the two-shot vaccine is safe and effective to begin distributing across the country. Joining me now with more on the process is Wall Street Journal FDA and medical reporter Tom Burton. Hi, Tom. Thanks for being here.
Hi, pleasure to be here.
So, Tom, tell us what happens during the FDA review of a vaccine. What exactly are they looking for here?
Well, as always, they're looking for safety and effectiveness. In this case, because we're in the middle of a pandemic, they're doing a quicker version of it. But they're looking at individual patients' cases to see whether there are red flags about safety. And then what they're doing is they're looking through all of the data that are submitted by Pfizer and BioNTech, which are the two partners. They're looking through those data to see whether the information from the companies really checks out. And in all likelihood, since the companies are saying the vaccine is about 95% effective, in all likelihood, the FDA is not going to be finding any major red flags, but that's the type of thing they're doing. It's a process that takes typically 2 to 3 weeks.
And what happens after those 2 to 3 weeks when the FDA is finished with its review?
Well, the FDA, once it knows exactly how long it's going to take, it schedules an advisory committee panel. These are outside experts, experts on vaccines, on pediatrics, on various groups of people who would be taking the vaccine, who can study the same data and advise the FDA about whether and in what groups of people the vaccine should be approved for.
And after that, the FDA decides whether to grant emergency use authorization, right?
That's correct. In this case, it would be a matter of 3 or 4 days in all likelihood after the advisory panel meets. Normally, the entire process, when we're not in the middle of a pandemic, might take something like 6 to 12 months. In this case, it's taking, as I mentioned, I guess you would add it together, it might be 3 weeks to a month for the whole process. And, you know, a lot of people from the outside look at this and they think, oh, you know, gosh, why the delay, and it's bureaucratic and so on and so forth. You know, actually, if people have the time to take an hour to listen to this outside panel hearing, they'll understand why it's complicated. There's a lot of subtlety that they're looking at. And so, for example, not only do they want to know if the vaccine works and whether it's safe for people, they're going to want to know whether it works in people over 70 years old, over 80 years old, in children under 12, in, you know, this type of group. It could be Black people, it could be Hispanics, it could be any sort of ethnic background. They want to know whether there's anything unique about those people that would make them disqualified from taking the vaccine. And when I say disqualified, we're largely talking about safety grounds. In other words, take the example of children. They don't want to give a vaccine to a four-year-old if the data haven't shown that a four-year-old can safely take it, and then find out later on that there's a problem. So it's all of those types of subtleties that are going on in the meeting itself and at the FDA. And these are doctors and scientists who are looking at the data, and their objective is not to slow things down. And in fact, in this case, it's to try to speed them up, but they're being really careful about it.
Tom, what about concerns on the other side of this, that the process is moving too quickly? What can you tell us about the vetting process for the FDA and the advisory panel?
I don't think there's any reason to doubt the process of the FDA. People at the FDA and also at the NIH and so on have made very clear that the efforts the government is making to speed a vaccine to people largely have to do with the distribution process and largely have to do with paying for large clinical trials at numerous companies, irrespective of whether the government knew that the trials would succeed. So in other words, the government was, you know, if it was being reckless with anything, it was being reckless with money. It was not being reckless with lives and safety.
There's been a lot of pressure on getting a vaccine out quickly. How does the FDA stay independent of that?
Well, the FDA is not a partisan entity, even though at the top, the president and the secretary of Health and Human Services are senior to the FDA. But let's face it, the FDA is run by scientists and doctors, and they really care about getting it right. That's their reason for being there. There was a lot of pressure on them prior to the election. I don't get the sense that there's very much right now, but even if there were, I mean, you'd really be amazed, the public would be amazed to see the kind of fierce independence that I see from people at the FDA when I talk to them virtually every day.
Another big question people have is, when will this actually start rolling out?
Well, the people at this group called Operation Warp Speed, which is a kind of a blend of different agencies and headed in part by an Army general who's an expert in distribution, he has said that within 24 hours of the time that the FDA authorizes the use of the vaccine, Operation Warp Speed can be beginning to send vaccine out. Now, in the beginning, it's going to go to what are considered high-risk people. So, in other words, it's doctors and nurses and paramedics, people on the front line of treating people with COVID. They can easily get sick themselves. And it's also elderly people, primarily in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. They're also considered at high risk. All of those people should be getting the vaccine as early as late December, maybe into early January. The general public, right now, there's not enough vaccine to go to the general public, but there will be within a few months. And I think the best estimates are that long about April, May, June, everyone in the United States who wants to take a vaccine can be taking it by then.
That's Wall Street Journal FDA and medical reporter Tom Burton. Tom, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Pleasure being with you.
And finally, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, a tiny beach resort, resident population 1,500, is about to join the ranks of places like Kennebunkport and Hyannisport as the new presidential retreat. It's long been the vacation destination for President-elect Joe Biden. The family owns a big, blue, $2.7 million beach house there. It'll mean a lot more traffic, but Wall Street Journal national political reporter Julie Bykowitz says many business owners are betting on presidential tourism to give them a much-needed boost during the pandemic.
I stopped by Browse About Books, which is just off of the boardwalk, and one of the co-owners there had set up a whole display of Joe Biden material. He's got a couple books. Jill Biden's written a couple of books as well. So those were prominently displayed along with some tacky type souvenirs that you typically see in these places. And I'm talking about things like Joe Biden socks and Joe Biden action figures. And there's even a Joe Biden scented candle, which, in case anyone's wondering, is orange because he likes orange Gatorade.
To learn more about Rehoboth Beach, check out Julie's story on our website, WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Mark Stewart. The show was produced this week with help from Paolo Bossanen, Jenny Ang, Kateri Yoakum, Amanda Llewellyn, Trine Nori, Charlie Turner, Sam Westren, J.R. Whalen, and Chris Sinsley. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.